read from Holy Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 13 and we'll read to the end of the chapter. We could say that in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about genuine Christianity or sincere Christianity. Matthew 7, 13 to the end of the chapter. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast down devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You can just turn back a page or two to Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Matthew 5, verses 29 and 30. Jesus tells us here how to deal with sin in our life. Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. On the basis of those passages of Scripture and others in the Word of God, that we have the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 33 on page 19 in the back of the Psalters, questions and answers 88, 89, and 90. Question 87, which we looked at last week, asked this: Cannot they then be saved who, continuing their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? And the answer is by no means. And so the necessity of conversion is pointed to there. And now in question 88, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. What is the mortification of the old man? It is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. What is the quickening of the new man? It is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. The subject of the Lord's Day, beloved, is conversion. As we look at the logic of the Heidelberg Catechism, we might think this is out of place. The Catechism is talking here about man's gratitude to God. The Catechism is talking here, or has talked about last week, good works and the necessity of good works. And we might expect it now immediately to go into an outline of what those good works are, to explain the law of God. The Catechism, before it does that, stops. It looks at this truth of conversion. We might, when we hear what good works are, plow on into the law of God and think we can do this in our own strength. The Catechism says, stop. Stop a minute. And let's look first at this truth of conversion. Now, biblically, there are two aspects to the doctrine of conversion. There is, first of all, God's work of converting or turning us. That's another word for conversion. Turning us. God turning us. Psalm 80. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Literally, convert us, O Lord. And there's first that. God's work in conversion, and in some ways that work of God of converting us is, or can be identified with God's work of regeneration. When he gives us a new heart, when he takes us, as it were, as we go on the way of sin, and he takes us by the Spirit, and he turns us around 180 degrees and points us back towards himself by the Spirit. He turns us from ways of sin, the love for him. That's God's work of conversion. That's one aspect. But then the other aspect of conversion is this. It's, we can put it this way, our act of conversion. Another word, and usually the most common word in the Bible for conversion, is repent. So when we talk about conversion, we talk about what God has done and also what we must do. We must repent. We must be converted. That's what Jesus is talking about, for example, in Matthew 18, when he says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." The necessity there of repentance is pointed to by Christ. And the emphasis in this Lord's Day falls on